Welcome to Sweet Kicks with Bricks, the show which helps you decide if a game is worth spending your hard-earned money on or a try before you buy. Now here's your host, Barry Ricks.
Hey guys, welcome to Sweet Kicks with Bricks. I am your host, Barry Ricks, and today's Kickstarter highlight is War of the Races. And I have the mastermind behind the game with me. I have Brian with me today. How's it going, Brian?
Good, thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show. Why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. My name is Brian. I am the owner of a company called Broadsword Entertainment, and one of the subdivisions of that company is Ultra Evil Studios, which creates games and card games, board games, video games, stuff like that. And our most recent game is, like you said, it's called Legends of Aerithmor, War of the Races. Yeah, went on Kickstarter about a week ago, and we are excited to get it funded and get it out to our backers.
Definitely. So Ultra Eva Studios is more about the board game part. What does the rest of the company do then?
Yeah, so we have a couple different divisions. One of them is kind of still it's kind of our baby, and we're it hasn't quite launched yet. It's definitely our biggest project. Maybe I'll come back to that in a sec. The other division, we actually have a company called The Key Armory, and we make keys in the shape of swords.
if you go
to thekeyarmory.com, you'll see all of our designs. They fit most locks in America and Canada, but we have designs from, though they're not officially the names, right, because copyright and stuff, but designs from Lord of the Rings and Star Wars and Zelda and Kingdom Hearts and War of Warcraft, Thunderbirds.
Just different names.
They're not Thunderbirds, Thundercats. Yeah, exactly. Stuff like that.
That's really cool. I'm actually checking out the website right now that you mentioned, and that's a lot of fun. I would love to have a sword key. I mean, who wouldn't want a key that's a
right
sword,
now, right?
Right?
No, it's a ton of fun. We launched that on Kickstarter in December, and we raised about $52,000.
Awesome.
We are fulfilling them late April or early May, trying to get them out by, mid-May at the absolute latest. So let me know what design you want. I'll send you one.
Hey, sounds awesome. Well, let's talk about your newest Kickstarter. You guys, like you said, just launched it not too long ago, and you guys have about a month left. So tell us what this game is all about.
Yeah, so Legends of Aerithmor, War of the Races. We are about we're at about $6,000 right now, about 60% funded, still have 31 days to go. This game was kind of interesting because my team here at Ultra Evil Studios, we actually started it as a fan project of a book series we all really, really liked. And it originally had nothing to do with races or, elves, orcs, dwarves, anything like that. I don't know if you've ever read the book Mistborn.
Yes, of course, because you talked. Last time you were on the show, you were talking about Stormweavers
yeah.
and how you kind of got a lot of inspiration from the Stormlight
yeah.
Archive, which is also by the fabulous Brandon Sanderson. He's awesome.
Exactly. Yeah. So it actually kind of started as a fan project, and it was originally like two Mistborns. If you've read the series, you know what I'm talking about. And it was just kind of a 1v1 game. One Mistborn versus another Mistborn, and you could push and you could pull and everything. And we played it kind of the office when we had downtime and stuff, but we're like, man, this is really fun. We weren't really confident we could sell it as a Mistborn game because A, it's hard to license, and there's already several Mistborn games out there. And B, I think to sell a game like that, you really have to understand the magic system, and that makes the audience the potential audience a lot smaller than it could be.
Limited.
Yeah, exactly.
I understand. Like, well, for myself, I understand because I've read the series and I would love something like that, but I could totally understand, like, pitching that to the regular person that hasn't read
exactly.
that. Like, oh, this is kind of odd.
Yeah, exactly.
It's still probably cool, but like you said, it's all about marketing people.
Yeah, exactly. so we decided, let's change this. You can still see some influences. there's the name's not final, but one of the like heroes in this game is called a pusher, and that was originally right the allomancy of you could push a weapon back or something. So there's still influences and stuff like that, but we changed it to five different races. You have dwarves, elves, orcs, humans, and demons. And these five races are battling it out for supremacy in the kingdom, and the last army standing wins.
Of course. And how does the game play? What can people expect when they play the game?
Yeah, so it kind of really depends on how many people you have playing. Obviously, the simplest version is a 1v1 battle where one army takes on another army. And you can play with as little – there's five decks. Each race is its own deck. You can play with as little as two decks or as many as five. You can either share decks among players, have a 2-versus-1 or 3-versus-1, you know, or you could have a all-out war, you know, all five decks going at each other. But during your turn, you put out your soldiers onto the battlefield. And as long as your king is alive, each deck has a king. As long as your king is alive, you can set down three infantry cards, three sorcerers, and two heroes. Now, infantry cards are things like soldiers and archers and, you know, your basic warriors, right?
Definitely.
Sorcerers include fire, earth, and water mages. And those can only be countered by other sorcerers. Kind of has a paper, rock, scissors effect to it. If I lay a fire, it can be taken out by an earth or a water. If I lay an earth, it's taken out by fire, etc. And then heroes are kind of more special ability type warriors. You know, someone who can block an opponent from redrawing during their turn, or someone who can heal the army, stuff like that. And then, yeah, so once you lay everything on the battlefield, then it's then your opponent's turn to defend or counter. Like I was talking about, you can push some of the attacks back towards the player who originally played it and stuff like that. And some cards attack the king's health directly, some cards attack the army, and some can do both. And you kind of have to pick and choose depending on what your strategy is. The death of the king doesn't end the game, but when your king dies, you can lay less down on the battlefield.
Yeah, it just makes it more difficult. It's a loss of morale.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
You know, your troops don't want to fight as hard.
Yeah,
of course.
Exactly. And one of the probably my favorite mechanic of the game is there's strategy cards as well that can be played at any time during the game. Doesn't matter if it's your turn or not. But those include chains, which you can lay down on opponents to take them as prisoners. And then those can be blocked by keys and stuff like that. If your king dies, you can sacrifice some of your prisoners to bring him back. And you can utilize these prisoners after you've taken them captive against other armies and stuff like that. So kind of a cool little twist there.
Yeah, it could change the tide of war, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. Well, and as we said, you know, you guys still have a good month to go. You have about 60% funded, so you guys are well on the right track to get funded. So when this happens and gets funded, when do you hope to have the game out to people?
So we have learned from the past.
Yes.
This
could be good tips for you other Kickstarter people that want to start something.
Yeah, absolutely. Our first, so Stormweavers, which we talked about in the past, we had to delay by about a month, and that was fine. I mean, delays to me aren't, as a backer, it's not uncommon to see delays, right?
Yeah,
of course. Obviously, if it's like a year or 2 years, that's frustrating for sure. But we had to delay Stormweavers by a month or so, and then another month because it got held up at customs, and we were randomly selected by the customs office to have to do like this x-ray, and that took another 2 weeks, and that was kind of frustrating. So we're taking that into account. And we hope to have all the games shipped by or to our backers by September.
That's relatively quick then.
October, actually. It was originally September, and we're still kind of hoping to do September, but the official date is September, October.
Well, that's still pretty quick. I mean, that's only a few months away, and definitely people can have it in their Christmas stockings for sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure. The thing with Stormweavers was some of our stretch goals unlocked like expansion packs and stuff that we weren't fully, they weren't fully ready. So after the campaign finished, we were like, oh man, we have to build these expansion packs. and we had them, you know, we had most like the ideas down, but the actual artwork and everything for that was 100% incomplete. So that delayed us quite a bit, but as far as War of the Races goes, it's ready to go to the manufacturer as soon as it's funded.
That's awesome. That's always a good thing. I've heard a lot from other Kickstarters that I've talked to is that the more that you can have completed before you even launch the Kickstarter, the more beneficial it will be for you in post-Kickstarter campaign.
Oh, yeah,
sure.
Absolutely.
So don't go into a Kickstarter with nothing but a concept. That is not a good way to go about it.
Yeah, if
sure.
Kickstarter even allows you to launch. A lot of times they won't allow you. But then another thing is it's always going to take longer than you'll expect it to. Always.
Yes.
And it's whether it's more expensive than you think it's going to be.
Yeah, whether it's shipping or whether it's a problem with printing, you know, sometimes those take a little bit longer than people anticipate. But like myself, I would rather it take longer and get a quality product than have it shipped to me and it's not quality
exactly.
product. So yep. I am okay with waiting a couple extra months if it means I get the product that I really want. So I think a lot of people are really understanding about it. But of course, you do have those people that aren't. And you people, you just need to calm down.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, support is... It's crazy to see the amount of support you get. Yeah, like you said, most of the people are very understanding. I think if you're upfront about it and you have very open communication, people are a lot more understanding as opposed to, you know, only updating once every 2 months and stuff.
Yeah.
But if you're updating and saying, hey, here's exactly what's going on, here's what we expect to happen the next couple weeks, people are a lot more understanding about it.
Definitely. That's something that I've heard from a lot of people too. Open communication definitely helps with during and post campaign, so keep that in mind.
Absolutely.
So, Brian, the game looks fantastic. I mean, Stormweavers was successful, and it, you know, that game was fantastic as well. And people really loved that. And I have no doubt that you guys will get funded. I mean, you still have a good month, and you're already more than halfway there. And so that's always a good road to be on. So thank you for coming on the show. I really appreciate you taking time out of your crazy schedule. Doing a Kickstarter can be hectic as well as all the other stuff you guys are doing. But why don't you tell listeners more about where they could find out more about your studio and more about the game?
Yeah, you can follow. We don't have a Twitter for War of the Races. We do have a Facebook page. If you just look up War of the Races, you'll find it on Facebook. Our Twitter handle for our studio is Ultra Evil Games. Yeah.
And there you go. And definitely go check out their other stuff. Like we talked about the key armory and everything. That's pretty sweet. Every geek should have one. So. Definitely. So once again, Brian, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having
me. And good luck with the campaign and good luck with any other future projects you have.
Thank you.
And thanks to Dan Patrice. He's Dan, the board game man. He created our intro and outro, and you can find him at thegeekallstars.com. And remember to back your projects wisely.
Thanks for listening to Sweet Kicks with Bricks. If you'd like to mail the show, send any questions, comments, or interview requests to sweetkickswithbricks@gmail.com. Sweet Kicks with Bricks is a Closet Geek Studios production. For more information on The Closet Geek, please head to closetgeek.net.